Here at Blue Apron, we know exactly how hectic school nights can be. That's why we created Assemble and Bake. Delicious one-pan meals that make family dinner simple. Just assemble the pre-chopped ingredients and put the pan in the oven to bake. Then you're free to help out with that last-minute diorama. Shop Assemble and Bake at blueapron.com. Get 50% off your first two orders with code APRON50. Terms and conditions apply. Visit blueapron.com/terms for more.
Kevin Fishbane.
I got Fishy Business, K. Fishbane.
Bears beat writer for The Athletic.
Are you talking about how the Bears had 10 days off between games after their two best passing performances and the first play from scrimmage against an all-blitzing defense was to let a blitzer come free?
Kevin Fishbane talking Bears.
Hey, Kevin. Kevin Fishbane from The Athletic.
I love your name.
It's a great name.
Yeah, great name.
On Chicago Sports Radio, 670 The Score.
Kevin Fishbane is the senior writer at The Athletic who covers the Bears. He hosts the Breaking In with Kevin Fishbane, a sports media podcast. And the guest this week is appropriately Jeff Joniak. So Jeff will be on Kevin Fishbane's podcast. And congratulations to Kevin Fishbane, who yet again was named the National Sports Media Association's Illinois Sports Writer of the Year for 2025. And dare I say it, one of the things that Matt Eberflus got right the most and absolutely nailed was that award doesn't just go to anybody, but it goes to Kevin Fishbane twice. So congratulations, Fishy Business.
Way to go, Kevbo.
Yeah.
Thank you, guys. Thank you. Yeah. Means a lot. Great
Congrats.
Honor. Thank you. And yeah, Flus got that right, and I think Ben Johnson will learn from Flus and never say anything to me about that award or about me about that award.
He'll just question you about, oh, you didn't like that play call there, Mr. Fishbane?
Yeah.
Oh, you didn't like that? Oh, you didn't like that?
How did you like that interaction, Mr. Fishbane?
I mean, the funny thing was, Marshall, I liked the call. I did like the call.
He was a little defensive?
That was a great question, by the way.
It was.
Yeah, and I just wanted to know about the timing. Actually, we found out a little bit more as the days went on that, you know, maybe the timing could have been a little bit better with the operation there. But hey, guys, I got a fun fact for you.
Oh, fun fact.
Love fun facts.
Open things up.
Here we go.
I was trying to think about, this is obviously a special date, January 9th, for your show, for Mark Grody.
Thank you, Kevin.
And so I wanted to see what is the Bears record when playing on Mark Grody's birthday.
That's wow.
This, date, this okay. better be good. There's a lot riding on this.
Probably not. I'm going to guess it's not. January 9th.
No, well, there's a lot of wins in the 80s.
Yeah, but that's playoff time.
Okay.
Right, so I thought January 9th, you're not going to get a whole lot in the regular season, but as Grody said, there was a lot of playoff games in the 80s and early 90s. Could we get a playoff win on Grody's birthday? No.
Oh, yep, that's what I thought.
I hate your fun
facts. What's the record?
The Bears all time in their 105-year history on January 9th are 0-1. And that one loss was Matt Nagy's final game as Bears head coach. January 9th, 2022. I'm looking through the box score, Grody. I remember nothing about this game because I realized I wasn't even there. It was like peak Omicron COVID times.
Oh, yes, yes.
So a few of us, I kind of, at the end of that season, I was like, you know what? I think I'm better off watching this one at home for my health and sanity. And the Bears gave up 21 points in the fourth quarter to lose 31-17.
To
and
who?
That was on Mark Grody's birthday.
To
the
who?
Minnesota Vikings.
Against the Vikes. Oh,
Omicron.
Man.
When you had to bring up Omicron as part of the record.
Were we still on Zooms back then?
Oh, yes.
Yeah, we were, right?
Okay. Yeah, and don't forget the nickname for the guys who filled in the NBA during that time. They were Omicron LeBrons.
Ooh.
Yeah, that was a thing. Kevin Fishbane, by the way, joins us via the Circa Resort and Casino Hotline. CircaLasVegas.com. And once again, a congratulations to you, Kevin. So that may be a good jumping off point as any, just the play calling and that discussion, because Ben Johnson was fired up when he said that to you. We saw him give it back a little bit, but we've all talked about how notable his attitude was after the loss to the Lions and how he seemed to very much so carry that same energy throughout the entire week. What do you think his, it's either frustration. I joked that somebody must have betrayed him. How would you put into words his mentality that you've observed this week throughout his press conferences?
Yeah, I think it's amped up a little bit, but it does kind of seem like normal, obsessed, detail-focused, just wants to figure out how to win, and that's all he cares about, Ben Johnson. And if like that is how he is normally, now you make it playoff Ben Johnson coming off back-to-back losses, you can understand that intensity. And I think one of the things possibly going for the Bears tomorrow night is this team has taken after him all season long. And if that is kind of his mode operandi with us, you can only imagine what he's like behind closed doors. DJ Moore told us yesterday that things have just been, everything just has ramped up a little bit more this week. So, you know, this is somebody that's going to make, you know, he said it, like every blade of grass matters, every inch of that field matters. And yeah, I just think he is super obsessively focused on what can I do that will help this team win. And, you know, we saw it this week, and, you know, we'll see if it comes through tomorrow night.
I don't know.
Tonight's meal, tilapia surprise with boiled cabbage. Begin cooking steps 1 through 50 now.
Are you kidding me? Making dinner shouldn't feel like doing a 1,000-piece puzzle. With Blue Apron's new one-pan assemble and bake meals, the hard part's already done. Pre-chopped ingredients, zero stress. Just assemble, bake, and enjoy. No complicated steps, no mountain of dishes. Try assemble and bake today. Get 20% off your first two orders with code APRON20. Terms and conditions apply. Visit blueapron.com/terms for more.
To say that he's given up on the defense, but we know he clearly at this point of the season knows what his defense is and expects more of the offense than the defense. What do you think he's most focused on to getting a win against the Packers in game 3 of this series?
Yeah, Marshall, that's a good way to put it, because, like, look, the defense could get a boost if Kyler Gordon is able to play, which is the expectation. But we don't know, obviously, how much he's going to play and what he's going to look like. But, the defense kind of is what it is. And if it's not taking the ball away, it's going to be tough because they're giving up a lot of yards. And he's focused on that red zone defense being what can help them. But the offense needs to score points. The offense needs to start fast. The offense needs to sustain drives. What I find really interesting about tomorrow's game, thinking about this slow start thing has been such a topic of conversation, is one of the best opening drives they had all year was against the Packers 3 weeks ago. And that was the fourth down trick play where the snap went over Kamanon guy's head. Up until that point, it was a really good drive. So I wonder and I asked Declan Doyle kind of about that drive, and I was just trying to see like what things they could, I don't know if there's anything they could take from that, but I think there's, you know, as everybody might be looking for a little glimmers of hope, I think that this is an offensive scheme that, while I do believe Jeff Hafley has had the upper hand in maybe 6.5 of the 9 quarters, I do think that Ben Johnson knows what they can do, especially against a Micah Parsons-less defense, to find success. They just have to be consistent and make sure their red zone trips are touchdowns, not field goals.
I should have had this in front of me. I know that I had screenshotted it and used it, by the way, on the Take the North podcast, Kevin, because, you know, we're all part of the same family here now that Dan's working for the Athletic. But you had the numbers. Like, when is the last time the Bears scored an actual touchdown on their opening drive in a game?
November 2nd, Mark Grody, that was hours after the Dodgers won the World Series, to put that in perspective. That's actually, I was going to say, not only is it the last time they scored a touchdown, it's the last time they scored points, period, on the first drive. Like, they haven't even had a field goal. Because the three most productive drives since then, they've turned it over on downs. They've gone for it on fourth down. And then they've had a bunch of three and outs. They've now had three of their last four games, I believe, they've had to punt on their first two possessions. And what's funny is, at the start of the season, you guys remember that opening drive to open the season? You're like, okay, this is a new era. Here we go. And they even had a good opening drive against Detroit, as much as that game went off the rails and then continued against Dallas. That was kind of the hallmark of the first quarter of the season, was this team was able to start fast, unlike previous iterations of the Bears. And then they've just been, to use a John Fox term, in a siesta a bit, and just not getting, I don't know how much of it is like Caleb Williams admitted last week he felt like they were flat. So I think every game it's been its own reason why they haven't been able to get out to a fast start. And I've been hammering this all week, guys. Can you imagine that stadium if they go up 7-0? Like, that's, I just feel like they really need to they want to do that anyways. That's obvious. But just to think of the juice that can be generated from getting an opening lead 7-0, that can really, like, I think to the Baltimore game a lot. Like, they had a pretty decent drive going, and then things went off the rails, and they had to punt. And that game, I remember, totally could have been different if they found a way to score on that first drive. And you really would have put a Ravens team that was decimated on their heels. And instead, the Ravens were able to kind of dictate pace. And you can go through other games that way, too. So I just think that it's going to be so important for them to try to find a way to get up 7-0.
Ah, that would be an incredible scene if that were to happen. Our segment with Kevin Fishbane is sponsored by Pottawatomie Casino Hotel. It's meant to be. Kevin, I know I always mess with you about keeping track of the snap counts. I always think you're the best at making note of who played the most snaps and or who played what snap counts they had. Tyrick Stevenson famously had 0. Do you think that his number increases on, well, tomorrow? I was going to say on Sunday, but that's not correct.
I think it does. I don't know what that looks like. I don't know if it's one series or two series. It was very strange that he played 0 snaps when they've always found a way to get him in for a little bit. And he played a bunch against San Francisco the week before. And so it's confounding to me a little bit, especially the way the Lions were able to move the football, like even just to give one of those guys a spell. I think that Dennis Allen, when you enter the playoffs, it is, you throw the kitchen sink at it, right? Like you throw everything at your disposal. And Tyrick Stevenson's not perfect, but if you guys think back to middle, like the front part of the season, he was playing at an incredibly high level, racking up passes, defense, quarterbacks were throwing his way a lot, and he was making some really big plays for this team. I just wonder if Dennis Allen's like, okay, playoff game, playoff time, I have this talented physical cover guy at my disposal, how can I use him? Is it giving Jalen Johnson just a series off? Is it giving Nashawn Wright a series off? Is it, you know, one of the things they did, guys, in Philly, the last time Kyler Gordon played, was they would have in their dime package, instead of bringing a safety on, they'd bring in an extra corner. So maybe that is something that they look to do, to use Tyrick Stevenson to their advantage. But it's just hard for me to believe that a guy that is that skilled is not going to play any snaps.
The National Sports Media Association Illinois Sports Writer of the Year 2025. Congratulations again, Kevin Fishbane. Thanks for coming on.
Thanks, Kev.
All right. Thanks, guys. Take care.
That's Kevin Fishbane. Coming up next on Raheemy Harris and Grody, you have what you want to say about the Bears-Packers rivalry. Mark Grody can't wear green when the Bears play the Packers.
Never. Never.
We won't cat your Sprite can.
Except for the time I was on the sidelines wearing green.
As the reporter.
Oh, yeah, Sprite can. That's more of an Eagles, maybe. Eagles!
No,
it's not dark enough, is it? To be Eagles?
It's like a Kelly green. I don't know.
Kelly green.
Point being, the rivalry is strong. But you know who may know that in a way that is a little bit different? Kevin Byard. We'll listen to him talk about it next.
Hey, Bears fans. Coach